That's good. All right, Sunday morning, 5:28-23, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to have three of these this morning. All right, this first one is called Breaking Up Fallow Ground and the Parable of the Sower. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord," put L-O-D, Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Oh. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." I looked up fallow in the Strong's. Means properly plowing or freshly plowed land. With that, let's go to the parable of the sower. This is Mark chapter 4. We've always looked at the parable of the sower one way. Get stuff. But that's not the real intended purpose for the parable of the sower. I'm not saying you can't use it for that. But this is twice the Lord has redirected me in this area concerning it. Starting with verse 13 of Mark 4, it says, "And he said unto them, Know ye now this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" So it's an important parable. The sower soweth the word. That's what people do when they take the gospel. They're sowing the word, right? "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So this is a sower of the word, sower of the gospel. You know, if you look back and you read about the old revivals, they all started based in prayer. Why? Break up fallow ground. I know just reading after C. Peter Wagner and those on his team, Cindy Jacobs, for instance, she's a prophet, intercessor, and that goes without saying. Before you go into a place, you break up the fallow ground, or people won't hear you. She tells of an instance where they were in Russia. But anyway, they'd stand out there. They couldn't even bribe people to take the tracts that they were offering. When they decided they were going to pull aside and pray, people would run up to them and ask them for tracts. So, all right. Do you see the parallels here? As opposed to, we just use this to get faith for stuff. That's the way we've always used it, always thought it was. Kind of with Word of Faith people, it's kind of one of presented that way, I think. Not any meaning anything against that, but if it's a parable right here, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? If you have an understanding of this one. What's on God's heart? What is God's commission to us? Take the gospel into all the earth. I know Brother Oral Roberts, he said in his vision the Lord was upset because there's only five ministries worldwide that were actually taking the gospel into the nations like he told them to. I thought, wow, five? All right, maybe we've had our focus wrong, having all these conferences on faith and on all these things. What if we had taken that and we'd sown the gospel? Like I said, I'm not criticizing anybody. If you don't know, you don't know. But taking the gospel is number one on God's agenda. It's what Jesus laid down to the apostles. All right. This is what the Lord began to speak to me. For strategic level warfare, breaking up the fallow ground is necessary so that when the word of the gospel is sown, it will go into good ground and produce 30, 60, 100 fold. You have thought, and most of the Word of Faith people have believed this, is all about believing and standing for answers to prayer, the prayer of prayers as far as standing in faith goes. This parable is the parable that unlocks all the other parables. It is about the kingdom of God and the infiltration of the gospel into a dark, lost, and dying world. God's about people. He sent His only Son. So that's the first thing on His heart. That's why I said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things. The problem is we've had all these things first. That's what I'm getting from this. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Advancement in the kingdom of God is key. I say to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things would be added unto you. You take care of my business, I will take care of your business. My church has the cart before the horse, and it won't go anywhere until those changes are made. So I guess what God was saying to Brother Oral Roberts was exactly this. I know ministries have their areas and they focus on that area, but I don't care what kind of ministry you're in, taking the gospel is the first. It's our great, the Great Commission. That means it's greater than your individual commission, right? The gospel of the kingdom is not about getting things. It's about taking the gospel to all the nations, total infiltration. This is what mapping's about. This is what our assignment's about. Every creature, breaking up the fallow ground is where you and your team come in. The ground is hard and it must be tilled up so that those who I have graced to take the gospel message can go in and have the word of the gospel fall on good ground. Do you see that in the parables of the sower like I do? I see it in a different way. I don't see it the way I saw it before. Now you can understand why I've had you targeting certain areas. The ground is hard and must be tilled so the gospel seeds can be planted in freshly tilled ground. To sow on hard ground is just a waste of time. It's only falling on deaf ears. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the truth. They cannot hear the truth. All right, Satan's narrative has caused thorns to grow up to choke out anything that tries to infiltrate it. This is this narrative. I believe it is the book by Cindy Jacobs, Possessing the Gates of the Enemy. I think they were in another country, her and her team already mentioned to you. They couldn't get anyone to even take a track. The people were completely closed off. After much intercessory prayer in another location, the people ran up to them and asked them for a track, a complete change in the atmosphere. A rule for you to remember, it happens in the spirit first, whether good or bad. Seeds were sown, good or bad. A well-prepared field will yield a bumper crop. Look at how a natural farmer prepares his fields before planting. We need to stay in our lane. See, we our part is not really to evangelize, to go out. We do the prep work for to get the fields ready so that these evangelist types can go in and take the gospel. Paul said this. This is 1 Corinthians 3. Starting with verse 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, we're all a team. We're all the body of Christ, and we all have our individual parts that we play in the Great Commission. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We're working as a team. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So the thing is, you know, I can remember over the years, people would come and they'd talk about, you know, winning the loss and make you feel guilty. You know what I'm saying? You'd all feel guilty, you know, trying to get people to get out and do this. Well, not everybody's called to do that. Now, I've had some individual peoples I've led to the Lord. But I know people that they are gifted. I mean, they know they can just get them born again quicker, lickety-split. Same way with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone has their gift from God. If everybody stayed in their lane and did their part, then we would see, I think, more accomplished than trying to do things that we are not gifted to do and we bomb at. We need to stay where we're gifted, where God's called us. And it's obvious he's had us be praying and proclaiming and breaking up the fallow ground. All right. Here's something that you can add to your proclamations. This is Psalms 47. Yeah, I want y'all to write this on your, whichever one where we talk about, you could put it on the one for Faith Avenue probably. Yeah. This is Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Well, the word here, clasp, is what it really is talking about. One of the meanings is clasping your hands. And this is what the Lord said to me. He added, that the Spirit would link up clasping hands with all the apostolic teams across the nation. You know, all right, Exodus 17. Give you an example here. Let's start with verse 1 there. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and they shall smite the rock, and there shall come out water of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You know, today the church is just like this. It's just constant complaining at the leadership. Nobody's doing nothing except getting mine, me and mine. That's all they cared about. Where's my next meal coming from? Where's my next drink coming from? So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek with Moses, Aaron, and Hur, went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. See, Moses couldn't do it by himself. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. He sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the earth. So God called in reinforcements. Aaron on one side, Hur on the other, to hold up Moses' arms. And they successfully took out the enemy. That's what the Lord's saying about clasp your hands. In other words, there's a petition that we read, number 2. It's that petition is actually from Mike and C.K. Thompson. Back in, I guess, 2016, they started proclaiming this petition. So I took it and I put it down for us to speak it. And whenever I speak it, I say, Lord, we hold up the arms. We clasp hands with Mike and C.K. Thompson in Las Vegas. And I believe the Lord will show us and help us add to this, that we can add others to this, that we're not alone. We've got Aaron and Hur on each side holding our arms up too to do what God's called us to do. All right. When you declare it, say we agree with them and the fellowship that they're at. This is clasping our hands and helping them hold up their arms. We can never forget that we are just a small part of a whole team. The more we come together, the more powerful we become over the infiltration of the enemy. God told us to speak in an army of intercessors to pray in God's order and government. It's exactly what's happening. Here are a couple of names to add there. Billy Brim Ministries. Their primary goal is to help the end day prayers, or the end of the age prayers. Their team is there to help end of the age prayers. Peggy Giba, she's a local. We've known her way back Western Hills days. I've had her come up to me, and I know she's an intercessor. So I think maybe she's praying for this ministry. So those two names right there. So when you think about that, write these people down. We're a team. We're not a lone wolf. God will add. As we're faithful to do what he asks us to do, he'll add more. Before you know it, when you got them linked up all over, a lot more power, a lot more strength to do what we're called to do.